The tomb is empty. The Lord has risen. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloth there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, but not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The year was 1930. The place was the city of Kiev in the Ukraine. The man was Nikolai Ivanovich Bukharin. Now, I know that's not a household name for most of you, but he was a very important man in the Communist Party. He had been one of the architects of the 1917 revolution, became a member of the Politburo, the ruling governing body of the Communist Party. Also was the editor of Pravda. Pravda was the communist newspaper. Bukharin had come to the Ukraine to give a speech on religion. 7,000 or 8,000 Ukrainian men and women were kind of forced into this big auditorium to hear this speech. Bukharin came out at a podium, center of the stage, and he began to tear down faith, to tear down religion, tore down the church, tore down Christianity, tore it all down, told them that they didn't need religion in the paradise of the workers, the communist workers' paradise. They didn't need that. And after an hour, when he had finished, he looked out and he saw the faith of these people in shambles. He was very satisfied. He said, at the end of it all, "Does anybody have any questions?" Of course, he didn't think anybody would, but one man put up his hand, one elderly man put up his hand. Bukharin said, "Come up here on the stage." So the elder man came up, stood there on the podium next to him, right next to that podium. This elderly man looked out over the 7,000 people, looked to his right, looked to his left, threw open his arms and yelled out as loud as he could, "Jesus Christ is risen." 7,000 people thundered back, "He is risen indeed." And again and again, "He is risen indeed. He is risen indeed. He is risen indeed." People were stomping, throwing their hats up in the air, whistling, clapping, cheering. Bukharin slunk off the stage. You see, that message, "Jesus Christ is risen, he is risen indeed," that comes to us from the first days of Easter. Remember when the women go to the tomb in one of the other Gospels, they see two angels there. The angels say to them, "Why are you looking for the living one among the dead? He's not here. He's been raised up." Remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus. walking along, a stranger comes. They don't recognize him right away. He goes into supper with them. When he breaks the bread for them, they recognize him. They rush back to Jerusalem, and when they get back, what do they hear? First thing they hear, the Lord is risen. He has appeared to Simon. And on, from those first Easter days, down through the centuries, to 1930 in Kiev, to today in this church, the message is this: Jesus Christ is risen. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Wonderful. Now here's the question. Why aren't you standing up and cheering and clapping? Why aren't you? Stand up, clap, cheer. Throw your hats in the air. See, that's the only suitable response to this message. The only suitable response. Because this is the most important fact in the whole history of the world. And if this doesn't move us to that kind of a response, nothing ever will. I heard a story about this preacher, country preacher, who had developed some kind of a problem with his throat. He couldn't speak anymore. And one Easter Sunday, he wrote a note to his daughter. The note read, "There is nothing worse on Easter than not having a voice to be able to shout, 'He is risen.' Except," he said, he wrote, "to have a voice and not want to shout." So that's what we do today. We shout it out because it's the most important, glorious thing that ever happened, ever will happen. Now, in today's gospel, we see a couple of little interesting facts, little facts that only could come from an eyewitness. And the eyewitness, of course, is John, who wrote the gospel. First fact is this. When Mary Magdalene comes to Peter and John and tells them that the body's missing, they start running to the tomb. Or here's the fact. John runs faster. Now, who'd know that except John himself? He runs faster. He gets there to the tomb. He's younger. Peter's a little bit older. We picture Peter huffing and puffing, getting there later. But what do you think Peter and John were thinking about on their way to the tomb? They probably were thinking that the body was stolen. Because grave theft was a tremendous problem in those days. People would steal bodies, hoping that under the wrappings they'd find jewelry and other precious things they were buried with. That's what they were thinking. Somebody stole the body of the Lord. They get to the tomb and they look in and they see the second fact, this interesting little fact. They see there the burial cloths. Burial cloth and the headpiece rolled up. Now, what does that fact tell us when you think about it? Grave robbers would never take the time to unwrap a body in the tomb. Right? You rob a body, you want to get out of there as fast as you can. Unwrap it someplace else to see if there's any jewelry. You wouldn't stop and do it right there because you might be discovered. So the fact that they see those burial wrappings there, what does that mean? It means that somebody didn't break into the tomb. Somebody broke out of the tomb. That's what it means. It's not that somebody broke into the tomb. Somebody broke out of the tomb. Jesus, risen. Victory day. Victory day for Jesus. And victory day for you and me too, in him. Just think about what that resurrection means. The first thing it means is this, that his sacrifice has been accepted. The obedience of the Son, the perfect obedience to the Father, has made up for all the disobedience that is ours. His sacrifice has been accepted. His sacrifice for us has been accepted. Now, St. Paul, in one of his letters, writes, if Jesus Christ isn't risen from the dead, you are still in your sins. If he's not risen, his sacrifice wasn't accepted. But he is risen, Paul says. Paul, who had his own experience with the risen Lord. And he says, your sins are forgiven. That's the first thing that means. His sacrifice is accepted and our sins are forgiven. Second thing his breaking out of the tomb shows us is that everything he taught about God, he claimed to teach in the name of God. Everything he taught was true. When he teaches that God is establishing his kingdom, when he teaches us that we're part of that, we're meant to be part of the establishment of that kingdom, and we do that by loving God with our whole heart and loving our neighbor as ourselves, when he teaches us all that, it's true. That's the meaning of life. And then thirdly, and maybe in many ways most importantly, when he breaks out of that tomb, he's showing us God's plan for the future. He's showing us God's plan for every one of us and for the whole of creation. His risen body shows God's plan for every single one of us. What he's showing us is that he will break us out of the tomb too. He broke himself out of the tomb. He'll break you out of the tomb. He'll break me out of the tomb if we let him. That's the future. That's what he shows us in his resurrection. Victory day for him and for you and me. I heard this wonderful little story about these three men who had gone to a funeral of one of their friends. They were elderly men and they'd gone to this funeral, and at the end, they all went to a little reception. They were talking about what the preacher had said, what the priest had said at the funeral. And they thought it was very nice. And they started talking about what they'd like to have somebody say about them when they died. The first man said, well, you know, I think I'd like them to say he was a really good man. He really was committed to the community. He did a lot of work for the community. He was a really community-minded man. Second man said, well, you know, I'd like them to say that he was a wonderful husband and father. He was a model family man. He turned to the third man and said, well, what about you? What would you want them to say about you? Third man thought. He said, well, you know what I'd like them to say about me? Look, he's moving. But that's the point, you see. That's the point, isn't it? If we're broken out of the tomb, we will be moving forever. Victory day. Victory day for Christ and for you and me in him. Let me conclude with a true story from the days of the war in Afghanistan. There was a young soldier over there who from his earliest days had been a very fervent disciple of the Lord, believed in Christ very deeply. He was over in Afghanistan. And one day, every parent's worst fear occurred. At their doorstep appeared a chaplain and an army officer to tell them that he had been killed. Devastated them, mother, father, sister, or brother. They came in, talked with them for a while. Just awful. And they left with them a letter. Apparently, in those days, it was not unusual to have soldiers write just-in-case letters that they would leave, and then they could be delivered to their families if they died. So here he was with this just-in-case letter. They left it with the family. And when they left, the family, of course, opened the letter, began reading. Dear Mom and Dad, dear John and Sarah, if you're reading this, it means I have been killed. Then he goes on in the letter to thank them for all their love, thank them for all the wonderful family life they had. He shares with them some of his fondest memories. But then he comes to the end of the letter. You know what he writes? He writes this. Don't worry about me. I am fine. I now know something you don't. I know what heaven is like. I know something you don't. I know what heaven is like. How could he write that? Because Christ broke out of the tomb and promised to break him out of the tomb too. And promises to break you and me out of the tomb. That's the future. This day promises. Victory Day. That's why I say it to you again. Victory Day, because Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Amen.